Welcome to Nerdificent, another week, another nerdy topic. I am Danny Fernandez, and sitting across from me, as always, he's never missed an episode.
Yeah, Iffy Wadiway, how you doing? I'm going to let y'all know how much of a professional Danny is. She was watching me because I took a bite out of this keto chocolate bar right when we started. And she was like really gauging it to really set me up to win. That's the type of partner you need in your life. She's more than a friend. We're beyond friends at this point. We're partners.
We work so well together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love it because we also do. People do know this if they follow us, but we butt heads sometimes, but in a respectful brother-sister manner.
Oh, yeah. Always. And that's what it's all about. You know, is really just having open dialogue in a sense of where you actually want to have a dialogue and you're not just trying to shout down the person, which I feel like is going to be lots of points that's going to be made on this episode.
Yes. And Vegeta's the best Dragon Ball Z character. Yeah, yeah. And if you're moving.
Okay. I'm going to let that one pass.
Because of our topic today. But yeah.
So yeah, I want to, you know, set that preamble up. If don't, after this episode, be like, Iffy, why didn't you talk more? Because this is a topic where I'm going to be doing a lot of listening. And, you know, we have two dope experts who are really going to take the floor. And I'm going to lead by example. I'm going to show y'all fellas how to do.
I did want to say before we introduce our amazing guests, just two housekeeping things. One is please go and rate and review us on iTunes. Thank you to everyone that has done it so far. It really affects, you know, getting our name out there and helping people find this. It boosts our numbers. If you take a screenshot of your review, we might share it. So definitely tweet us that. And also check out our TeePublic site. It's teepublic.com/nerdificent. If you send us a picture with some merch, we will post it on our Instagram or we will retweet it.
Put it inside my locker.
Or we'll post it. Iffy and I have both shared. We love seeing people in merch, we've both shared it on our Insta stories. And it's always so, I feel like it's Christmas morning seeing that someone cared enough about our podcast to go and buy a t-shirt.
If all our single folks out here, you know, it's February. We're getting to Valentine's Day. If you post a picture of our merch and it's on Tinder or Bumble or whatever the kids are using to say, we'll write your bio.
I would love to do that.
Yeah, we'll write your bio. And a shout out to Floof, who I had to check because he was posting a pic of him writing a review for the Daily Zeitgeist. I was like, wow, I don't see one for Nerdificent. And he went ahead and did it. So thanks for doing that, Floof.
Thank you.
But, you know, I'll call you out.
Helping us.
I'll call you out.
Helping us, you know, find other people. And thanks to everyone that's tweeted at us. It really does. Iffy and I read those and and we try to retweet as many as possible, but it really, and engage. And check out our Discord too. We have a lot of great conversations on there. I am popping in there to take down people that say that they don't like my Jimmy Stewart impression.
Really, really gotta call y'all out for turning y'all backs on the yellow.
No,
we're all on the stream like, yeah, haha, Danny shows up in the Discord. People were like, nah, I like it. I think it's good. Okay. All right, y'all.
They love me.
You're seen.
I'm everyone's little sister. Joining us today, we have one of the hosts at Hyper RPG. She's also a youth gaming coach, Janelle Santa Cruz.
Hi. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yes, Janelle, you've known Iffy and I for a long time.
Oh, yeah. It's been,
I've actually known of you before I knew you because you would draw wrestlers.
I did.
And my buddy Kyle was like, oh, there's this person in the wrestling. I think it was Tights and Fights you used to post it in.
Yeah.
It was like, her drawings are so good. And then I saw you were streaming.
Yeah.
And I was like, let me check this out. Yeah. So
I think we met previous to that through Danny, through comedy. I think I met you at UCB like a long time
Tournament
ago. Tournament of Nerds. Tournament of Nerds.
Tournament of Nerds.
And like Comedy Store stuff. That's how you kind of brought me into Hyper RPG, actually, into the family there, because they needed a host for the wrestling show.
Yes.
Yeah. And so that was, so thank you for that.
Yeah,
I'm still there.
You're great.
Still pumping.
And joining us, our other guest, she is a senior writer at Insomniac Games. She's also been a game developer at BioWare, Sam Maggs.
Hi. I'm
you don't even include all your, because you've also written several books.
Yes, that is true.
She's over here like shortening it.
I know. I was like, No, you need to flex. We were trying to tell her before, you need to flex. Yes, all of your stuff.
I'm not good at it.
And you're a host at Nerdist with me on our show Fangirly.
That's how we know each other. Yeah. Fangirling has been super fun. It's been great. Kind of like this discussion as women to talk about things that affect us in the nerd world. Like, it's just such a positive environment to have other women.
Yes.
People from other marginalized cultures getting together to talk about things that we love so much and we're so passionate about. And I think that's really why I'm stoked to be here today, is because I think a lot of the time people, when we talk about like women in games or stuff like that, they're mm-hmm. like, oh, it's all about like, oh, it's because you hate games, or like you want to be so negative. But it's because we love
games. I hate them.
Games.
That's why I play them.
I know. But it's because like we love games. We love comics. We love all this stuff and we want to make it better, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's why we're all here. And yeah, it's good.
And I wanted to say, this is going to be a little bit different than our traditional format, in that we wanted to have an open conversation. So it's kind of going to be a roundtable discussion. I really wanted to just, Janelle and I were having lunch the other day, and she was telling me some of her experiences of being a woman in the gaming world. And I was like, you have to come on and talk about this, because even I, as a woman in the nerd world, was not aware of some of the stuff that she goes through. And so I was like, I just want this to be an open conversation about some of the great, amazing things that we've gotten to experience, and, you know, things that we want to work on and problem solving. But for both of you, I guess, where would you say, probably more professionally, or even like you, Sam, working on game developing, like how did you, and I know both of you have different stories, but how did you get to where you are?
Yeah. I guess for me, in terms of getting into game development, my path was kind of weird. I think a lot of people have a really weird path into game dev. There's no one right answer. I'm a game writer, so for me, I wrote books first. I wrote a couple nonfiction books. I wrote a lot about video games. I wrote video game reviews for a national newspaper up in Canada, which is where I'm from originally. And that's kind of how I sort of connected with a lot of people in the video game dev community. They knew my work. They knew that I was passionate about games. And so I got in that way. But for people looking to get into games and game writing, I always recommend that they check out Twine. It's a free online client. Basically, you don't have to download anything. You do it totally in your browser. And it allows you to make your own interactive choose-your-own-adventure novel, basically.
So
it's all writing. You don't have to have like any art skills or programming skills, maybe like basic HTML or whatever. But you just go in, you can write your little story, and it lets you write branching dialogue choices, that kind of stuff. And if you finish a full Twine, like, it's a great piece that you can use when you're auditioning for game gigs. And even if you're not using it to audition for like AAA game gigs, it's something that you can put out there and be like, look, I wrote something, I finished something. Like, here is what I can prove to you that I'm actually good at this.
That's
like,
so cool. Awesome.
Yeah,
I had
it's
no
so
idea.
Great.
We're going to drop that in the footnote so y'all have a link to that.
It's awesome. It's literally what I use to audition for BioWare. So
that's
you
so
do it. Yeah.
Damn, look at these FEC. We're giving, last week it was VO stuff.
Yeah,
remember?
We're giving
the inside nuggets on how to get into this industry.
Yeah.
That is so cool. Janelle, how did you get into youth gaming coach?
Well, my family were always big gamers, and, you know, we grew up with games, and used to like sit in my bunk bed and watch my dad play Silent Hill and just like, you know, all these things.
Yeah.
So it was just big into stories and everything. And because we were such big gamers, my younger brother got into playing Overwatch professionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I was big in Blizzard, you know, played Diablo. I met my husband actually because when I was doing stand-up, I did a joke about Diablo.
Oh my gosh.
And
that's amazing.
And they are so cute together. They are so cute.
Our first date was like playing Diablo online, and he brought his friend because he was nervous. but there was that. And so when Overwatch launched, you know, I had never really played in a first-person shooter before.
Yeah.
It took me 2 years of grinding to learn how to aim. And so I met a lot of kids who had small voices and things like that. And so I just bonded with them. And I also work as a day job, you know, with special needs kids. And I worked with at-risk youth. And so I knew how to work with teenagers and people that didn't have the skill set and wanted to learn to get better and needed to reform because maybe they used things, you know, language that they shouldn't be using on the internet. And so that's how I got into it. And so now we have this date night Discord, which initially started as a place for me and Andy to actually just play games online as a, you know, a date night.
Yeah.
And now there it's just like hundreds of kids and stuff. And we do pick up games and we work on tactics and strategies and run scrims and stuff. And so that's how I got there.
What I love, I love that you said that you had to grind for 2 years to get good at Overwatch, because I feel like so often people look at streamers and like women streamers and are like, oh, they have it so easy. Like all they do is sit there and play video games all day. But it's like, it's really hard work. Yes. Like streaming is really hard work. Yeah. Playing games professionally is really hard work. Like it takes a lot of time and effort, and it's super impressive.
Yeah, because like, again, my brother, he's 5 years younger than me, but had been playing games for so much longer, computer games, you know, because I was playing, you know, console stuff, and I just like didn't have the proper equipment, and so he was ahead of me, so had that 2 years of AIM experience, and now it, you know, it transfers over to other games. Like we were talking about Apex Legends earlier,
so fun.
My AIM is decent enough, like I can keep up. You know, I'm not a god by any means, but you know, the kids are, because culturally, like, they've been playing since they were younger. A lot of boys have played, you know, and so that's something that, yeah, that I feel was really important for me to do for myself, was to spend like 5 hours a day playing the game, at least minimum. And that's nothing compared to people that spend, you know, 8 hours or 12 hours. Like it's ridiculous. Like the using a, you know, the learning the hand eye coordination between, you know, the mouse and keyboard instead of a controller, because it's not a controller. It's so much more intricate, like using, you know, all that. And so, yeah.
And I know a lot of my friends that have had to, you have to be consistent with your streaming schedule.
Oh, yeah.
And so, Iffy, I know that I've seen you posting about that, too. Like, I'm going to be on here. I'm going to be streaming. These are the hours that I'm streaming.
Yes, yeah.
I think a lot of people don't realize, like, what you were saying, Sam, about, like, the fact that Janelle said that she was grinding is you also have to be entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
You have to be entertaining. Like, you can't just, like, silently, you know, like, you have to be, that's how people build their following and have loyal fans. So there's so many things that go on.
Yeah.
That I think people don't realize.
Yeah.
Right. And streaming did sort of take a hit for a while for me, because it was so hard to focus on the game and, you know, learning how to make in-game calls and stuff, but also like trying to manage your chat and all that stuff. So I did have to take a little bit of time from my streaming to focus on actually, you know, doing that. And so that was a challenge within itself, like to take away that time.
I talk about this at my like work a lot, but it's so funny that streaming and also working in game dev are both jobs that you really have to be on, and you have to be talking to people all the time, because I think a lot of the time us nerds are like very introverted and shy and like awkward, and streaming and hosting is so like being on and putting yourself out there, and working in game dev is so, it's such a collaborative medium. You always have to be talking to people, talking to level designers, talking to environment artists, talking to like every person who has a finger in the pie.
Yeah.
And so it's like, what did we do? We're nerds. This is a huge mistake.
Are there other women that y'all enjoy watching, like other gamers and people that you have met?
Fran is she's an Overwatch player, and she's a top 500 player, consistent, and her hero pool is a lot of aim-based heroes, because the game Overwatch has low mechanical, you know, like skill requirement characters. Like we're, you know, there's a healer named Mercy, who a lot of women tend to play, because you don't have to aim. All you do is you point your staff at a teammate and you heal them and you follow them around the map. And so when they die, you res them. Like that's your ability. But Fran herself, she uses Ana, who is a sniper who snipes her team to heal them, like, which is very cool. But
she's my favorite Overwatch character. I mean, I'm terrible at her, but I like to play her.
I love Ana. Iffy, do you have some female streamers that you like watching?
Oh, man. Zombie Unicorn. She's great. I also, Austin Marie, another good friend of mine's. You know, I'll pop over to Janelle, see what she's cooking up. Tippy,
yeah, we always
Vanna.
Go in there. Yeah.
Vanna's great. Erica Ishii, you know,
Erica
she streams
Ishii,
from time to time.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, there is, where is this? I forget her name, but she's a scientist. So like she'll just have full on conversations. She's like an astronomist, who I guess, I don't know. Anyway, she just like literally talks about space her whole stream. So I have tons of
awesome.
I really want to watch that.
Yes,
so
please,
hook me up with that deets after this.
We'll do. Yeah. And Lady Danger as well. She's great.
Cool.
So Those are all my shouts outs.
Yeah.
Janelle, I did want to say, so when you and I were grabbing lunch, you were telling me about how difficult it is actually for women to advance because when people hear, and this was something that I, listen, y'all, I take a lot of abuse as a woman in the nerd world, like in the comment section and the names that were called. So I was very aware of that harassment happening to women in gaming. I wasn't aware, though, that it's actually affecting your job because when people hear your voice and they hear that you're a woman, they will hop off the game.
Yep. They will. They'll jump off of the map. And so they will not play with you because Overwatch is a team based game, six versus six. And so I would, you know, at one point I made a call because you have to communicate. You have to say, you know, so-and-so's left, right, you know, main, whatever. And somebody yelled at me. This was one of the first times somebody's like, you know, what the hell are you doing in this game? Like, get off and go make a makeup tutorial on YouTube. And I was like, what the hell? Like, okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, and because specifically I play DPS characters, which are, it's not traditional for women, but they play support. A lot of them play support characters like Mercy, the one that I described earlier. And so it offends them to hear a woman's voice coming out of, you know, the McCree guy or the soldier.
Right, a male character.
Yeah, because they want to play those characters. And so it's their right, they feel. I've lost so many games. And it's been crazy because I'll stack with some friends. You know, I'll have a couple of guys with me. And they're, like, always so surprised. They're like, does this happen to you all the time? And I'm like, yeah, like all the time. People will just stop playing because they don't want to play with me. Or I'm not doing what they want me to do. They go play Mercy. I bet you're Mercy main. They tell me, I bet you're Mercy main, but I bet you play D.Va. And I'm like, I don't. Like, I don't have a problem with those characters, but I don't play those characters. My hero pool is completely different. And so it just, they love to harass you. I've been called like every possible word, you know, for a woman.
In order to combat that, some people were using voice changers.
Right.
Yeah. You were saying that when you did that, people thought that you were, because you still sounded like you.
I saw the cadence. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so they thought that you were a gay man.
They thought I was a gay man.
But they would not hop off the game, but then you would get slurs.
Mm. I would get slurs. And you know what? Actually, my hero that I play, the Soldier 76, so he's like a Captain America type guy, right? Where he's like, he's the leader of the organization of Overwatch.
He's named Soldier 76 because he's like the most generic looking, soldier character ever.
And like All Might.
Yeah. So I picked him because I was like, this guy has a kit where he can take care of himself. He can heal himself, so I don't have to ask for healing from a teammate because he can heal his damn self. He runs fast, so I can run around and get kills, and I can carry myself. I don't need anybody. Well, this game's been out for 2 years, and about 3 weeks ago, they announced, they announced that he's gay.
Yeah.
They revealed that he was gay.
Which was a huge win, I feel like.
It was fantastic. Yeah. And so now,
a lot of people were really excited.
Yeah, and so it's been a fast return to when I did the experiment with the voice changer, where I don't even have to speak to be called the F word or whatever.
Yeah.
where they're just, they look at the hours. I have 500 hours on this guy. And so they immediately like, I bet you're gay, but you know, like this. And I'm like, yeah, I am. So what? Like, it's ridiculous. Like, it's, I have lots of women in my Discord that say, I want to try a voice changer. I want to try, you know, I want to see what it's like. And I say, I've done it. And yes, like, if you get more respect still, even sounding like a gay man, because they assume that you've played games more. They assume that as a male, you've culturally played games more.
Well, and the thing about the voice changer is that it treats the symptom, but not the issue.
Yeah, it's not addressing
exactly
the problem.
Yeah, yeah, you find stuff like that. Like, because that's the insidious stuff that, you know, when guys jump off, it affects your ranking and your ability to compete. And you find that in the professional world as well. It's that insidious stuff that people don't talk about a lot that's actually the stuff that really affects people's ability to work in this world, like the fact that
to advance,
girls
and get noticed by leagues.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, girls at a young age aren't encouraged in the same way that boys are to explore programming or coding or you know, gaming in a lot of different ways. So it puts us behind. It puts us at a disadvantage even trying to get into these fields. Like you said about your brother. Like, he'd been playing PC games a lot longer than you had. And that put you at a disadvantage age-wise. It's the same in gaming. I think a lot of girls aren't brought up being told, like, we're making a real push for it now, which I think is awesome, trying to get more women into STEM. Like, it's great. Girls Who Code is a great organization for that. But, you know, girls, I feel like, don't feel encouraged or able to get into these fields that traditionally have been advertised, I would say, as like for boys.
Exactly.
And I think that's a real shame because games are for everyone and they should be for everyone.
Right.
And the more different types of people that we have making games, the more different kind of stories we're going to get in games. Because I come to games with a different life experience than Danny does as a Latina woman, than Iffy does as a Black man. Mm-hmm. Like, we all come to the table with our own stories and our own experience. And getting more different kinds of people to tell those stories just makes for better and more exciting games. Like, I feel like we all win when we open up the table to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I am hopeful that the more we have discussions like this and the more we put out into the open, we can start to say, stop treating the symptom, you know,
right,
what I mean?
With like a Band-Aid.
With a Band-Aid and start going back and drilling down to how can we fix this from the start?
Yeah.
You know?
And to like really speak on your issue as well, I've met someone at TwitchCon. She's also another female streamer. I forgot to shout her out. Ferociously Steph, who also happens to be trans. And she played Blizzard game, but a different one, Heroes of the Storm. And she she was very vocal about not adding a voice chat feature to the game. And and you know, they ended up adding it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it just totally affected her ability to rank up because now she ran into the same issues as you did in Overwatch.
I'm glad you brought up Apex Legends for that exact reason, actually, because they have that communication system where you can just ping objects in the world without speaking. You don't necessarily need to use the voice chat to communicate with your teammates. And I think that's great, not only for, you know, women and trying to make things genderless or an even field, but also for like accessibility issues. You know, if people are hearing impaired and they can't talk or speak over voice chat, now they're able to play this game, you know, and it again opens up the table for more people.
Oh, yeah.
So it's cool.
It's a very dynamic ping system too, because when I was playing it, you know, because my buddy Manny Hagopian is the lead writer for it, so he wrote all the voice lines. So he was like, you should try all those pings, you know, we wrote different things.
Manny's I've been there every night until 9 p.m. forever. Please listen to my lines.
Hamlet's on me, level one.
I relate deeply to this.
But what's funny is because, you know, normal pings are like, I'm coming, I'm here, but like this one's like, I feel like someone's been here. I've been, like, they're very dynamic in the sense that it's like one of our friends did have a mic and it was totally fine. Where normally in a BR game, a battle royale game, it's very hard to play with someone without a mic. And that was a huge accomplishment. And I think, for accessibility, I think you know, just to take a quick sidebar on accessibility, where, you know, it's very easy to forget about things that other people need when you don't.
For example,
I made a joke recently because, you know, Pornhub had those like interactive videos where they, you know, team with a fleshlight. And I was like, we've gone too far, blah, blah, blah. And somebody went in my DMs, is like, actually, I was hearing on a podcast that like that's great for accessibility for disabled people to use those products because, you know, they don't have access to their hands or, you know, they don't have that level of mobility. And I was like, well, you know,
when you don't think about it.
You don't think about it. And I was like, that actually now made it way cool. And it's like, definitely.
There's a big push, I think, in the industry right now, and certainly at Insomniac, where I am, to make games more accessible and to really expand out those accessibility options. I was playing Shadow of the Tomb Raider, and they have a really dynamic accessibility system where you can change individually the level of difficulty for different things in the game. So you can make combat really hard, but you can make puzzle solving really easy. You know what I mean? You can change things like that. A lot of push for like color blindness options,
which Overwatch just finally got.
It's great. I feel like the more marginalized people we can get into games and into making games and into streaming games, the better the community is going to be for it.
I was just thinking about yesterday, Andy. It was on my husband was on Twitch and he was like, "Look, Janelle, this is the commercial that I saw." And then made me cry earlier. It's the one with the it's so like disabled kids with the new controller. I watched it over in his screen without like its sound, and he was like, and I was like crying too. And I was like, it made me so happy because there's new controller that's out for them, and it's fantastic.
We have to take a quick break, but we are going to continue this conversation right when we get back. And we're back, still joined with Janelle Santa Cruz and Sam Maggs. And Sam, I wanted to say, so at Insomniac Games, I remember you on our show interviewed Jacinda Chu.
Yeah.
Right. She's been there for like 15 years or something.
Yeah. She's a really talented, wonderful art director who's at Insomniac. We have a lot of really wonderful women on the team at Insomniac. And I think it's really cool to see the gaming industry going out of its way, like a lot of tech businesses, to look at their, you know, company makeup and their hiring procedures and HR to see like how we can level the playing field a little bit. Because there are all those studies, you know, about resumes or how.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? Like if the resume has a certain kind of name on it, maybe it doesn't get looked at necessarily. Yeah. There's a lot of studies about how the way companies write job requisitions, like when you go to a board and you look at like the job ask or whatever and you before you apply, a lot of the ways that companies write those appeal specifically to men and maybe don't appeal necessarily to the way women think about themselves. Mm-hmm. Like they'll say, mm-hmm. like, we need an expert in, and women often don't consider themselves experts in the same way. So there's a lot that companies can do in terms of being really careful about how you write those. Being really conscious about going out and trying to recruit in places where you know there are going to be a lot of people, just to balance that, you know, interview pool, even, yeah. just to make sure that you have women, you have people of color, you have queer people interviewing for these positions, you know.
On that point, I don't know, Janelle, if you knew this, but at Hyper RPG, back when I was hosting there as well, Zach Eubank, who's the head of Hyper, was saying they were looking for a social media manager. This was like 2 years ago. And so he put out a call for a social media manager. Yeah. And he said all of the women that applied were overqualified.
Yeah.
And all, like, he said a ton of guys that applied were like, I've never done it before, but, you know, I figured I would throw my hat in the ring.
Yeah, totally.
And Zach was like, I couldn't, he was like, the women that applied, I was like, this, you're too good for this job. Yeah. Like, you know, and it was at the time when the channel was new, so they were just starting out. And he was like, I couldn't believe some of the guy, like, the confidence of just like, yeah, I figured I would, you know, I tweet, so I figured I could, you know, be a social. Do you remember that, Iffy?
Yeah, yeah. I've done a Twitter before.
Give me that account. Oh, and I agree, Sam, that I feel like a lot of times we, and I've seen that so much. I see that on Twitter with, in film Twitter and women that are film reviewers and stuff just being like, they think that they have to be, I don't know, like it's exactly what you're saying where we hold ourselves back in some way.
Yeah.
And just because because of, I think what we've dealt with, I think.
How
just,
we've been conditioned how, to think that, about
there
this.
We go. Yeah, thank you. Absolutely. How we've been conditioned to think that we're not good enough.
Yeah, definitely.
And then you, and then you see the resumes of other people like,
No, totally. Honestly, yeah, it's like, important.
Like there's you know 26 plus heroes on the roster for Overwatch, and on all of the women that I work with and play, I stress themselves out trying to learn all of them because they feel like, you know, they have to have, we have to have this deep of a hero pool in order to qualify for so and so's team and whatever. When there's guys that are like, I play one trick, this one hero, and whatever. All right, I guess I'll play professionally.
It's like classic, like prove yourself nerd stuff, right? Where as soon as you say, like, I'm a gamer, or like, I'm a nerd, or I like comic books, you get quizzed and you're expected to be this expert. You know what I mean?
I mean, I have Goku and Vegeta from Dragon Ball Z tattooed on my body. And I'm not, and I had a podcast. I've had two Dragon Ball pod. I mean, that's too much. That's too many, both with Iffy. So I blame him. But like, Iffy, I don't know if you remember this, but I tweeted something, I think about our Dragon Ball podcast. You know, we were having some guest or something on, and someone was like, do you even watch Dragon Ball Z? Like, something like that.
Yeah.
Or like, have you, do you even know who Akira Toriyama is? And that's the creator. And Funimation, who like owns DBZ, you know, does all the dubbing and stuff, somebody went on their account and replied to them, and they have like hundreds of thousands of followers, replied and said, yeah, she does.
Oh my gosh. That's the vindication you like dream about.
Oh, it's nice. I know. It's nice when you've worked for huge companies that have employed you because of your expertise to drop in and be like, yeah, she does.
Yeah. That's like my, when I'm from Canada, so I moved to Toronto 10 years ago, and that's where a lot of my like nerd community started. And I remember I was 21 and I was going to my very first like nerd party. It was thrown by the local comic book store, and I was super nervous and I didn't know anybody, shy, like showed up by myself. And I remember talking to like a cute dude who worked at the comic book shop and being like, this is my moment. I'm gonna like talk to a cute nerd. It's gonna be great. And I was like, yeah, I love comics. And he was like, oh yeah, name Spider-Man's parents.
And I remember the gatekeeping.
Like, literally, this I feel like it's a thing that people say happens. And I was like, I can't believe this is happening to me. And now I write Spider-Man.
You do.
So that dude can
eat
it.
Yeah. For y'all that don't know, I mean, one of the biggest games this past year, Spider-Man at Insomniac Games, Sam worked on that. That is
so on the DLC, yeah.
Cool.
So
cool.
You know, vindication.
Yes. Please, getting paid.
But that's it. But that's what it is. And that's because you and I and the people in this room, like, despite having to deal with things like that, kept at
you
it.
You love
kept
it
at
so
it.
Much. Mm-hmm.
And, like,
I know.
My hope is that we have had to deal with a lot of that stuff so that hopefully the next generation of gals
True.
Have to deal with it less.
True.
And then after that, mm-hmm. less and less. And, you know, that's the goal.
Every time I want to give up, I'm like, I can't. One, I've already made it this far and it's farther than other women of color. Like, I have to be, I'm a Latina that's made it this far in the industry. And other people are counting on me. My
yeah.
niece is counting on me. Like, other
yeah.
people mm-hmm. I'm taking the brunt of it because the generation before me took even more
yeah.
than I did.
Yep.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it is nice. I mean, I have seen progress, and I know, Janelle, that you've built
yes.
a really nice community. I mean,
mm-hmm.
if there are women that are listening that are interested in
yeah.
getting into gaming or doing it competitively, like, what do you recommend to kind of develop and foster a positive community?
There are so many Discords out there, you know, and we've built one, like our date night Discord, that and that's what I always encourage people to do, is to look for communities for whatever it is that you want to work on. Because for us, we service a multitude of games, like, because we have experts, like Andy's a fighting game expert. If somebody wants to come in and work on something for Smash Brothers, like, he's there and he will help you because he's played tournaments before. He's been a tournament
That's
level. And
so cool.
And we'd focus on kids and also, you know, women, because a lot of women, they come in and they're new to games because they just got a PC
yeah.
and, you know, games are, you know, and so that's where, you know, I can come and be like, okay, like, these are the coaching tips I can give you, like, and I'll work one-on-one with you if you need. We'll do scrims and we stream them, and that's always, like, whatever a game it is, there is a community out there. There's a Discord mm-hmm. for it. There's, like, you know, there's Reddit forums and it's just so important to reach out to other people, because, like, we provide a safe area for you to work on something. Like, this is my goal that I want to do. Like, there's a 14-year-old girl who's so good at Genji, which
oh, wow.
is non-traditional for a girl to play, let alone a 14-year-old girl. And she's like, you know, she comes home from wrestling practice, and she works on Genji, and, like,
yeah.
that's, you know, that's what we do. So that's, there's other
places
to do that.
And for people
that
know, Genji is a character in Overwatch.
Genji is a character in Overwatch. He's a, yeah, it's a ninja guy. And so, I don't know, like, the women tend to flock to certain types of characters and stuff, and so that one is, that's all the guys love Genji because he's direct from an anime, and so
yeah.
so
voiced
it's hard,
by our
it's,
friend Gaku.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he voices
Gaku Space. Yeah,
so great.
It's so good. But yeah.
Yeah.
It's joining a community, because it's not just Discord. There's other places too where it's just mostly reaching out and just searching, doing the research. Like, it's not that hard to do once you set the search for it.
Finding a group of supportive people, I feel like, is such good advice.
Yeah.
It's so important, like, for people who want to get into game development. It's important to, you know, communicate to people who are goals to you, or people
yeah.
who that you look up to, and to kind of try to make a genuine, like, connection with people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe find a mentor if that's something you're into. But also, beyond that, I always really encourage people to find their community of their own level. Like, find the people that you're
yeah.
gonna come
right.
up with, because it's
yeah.
one thing to, like, look up to people
right.
and be like, oh, I'm gonna try to befriend, like,
mm-hmm.
someone who's already established. But
yeah.
that's
the
harder,
better
yeah.
thing to do is to find the people of your own cohort,
mm-hmm.
of your own level, and to sort of support each other
yes.
and come up together and help each other out. And I feel like I've talked about this. I wrote a book called Girl Squads, which is, like, about women supporting women. And I feel like a lot of the time, as women, were conditioned, like we were talking about before, to feel like we have to compete with each other.
Oh, for sure.
Instead of cooperating with each other, because we
mm-hmm.
we all suffer from this, like, Highlander syndrome of there can be only one. You know what
because
I mean?
Because a lot,
like,
of times there is only, I
there's
mean,
only space, quote
yeah.
unquote,
yeah.
for one. Like, there can only be one Latina who podcasts. So there can be
yeah.
only
yeah.
one woman at this game studio, only one woman streamer. But it's like, that's That's wrong.
Right.
Like, the patriarchy has told us that. And it's false. They made that up. So it's like there's more than enough room for all of us. And when we support each other and lift each other up, we all are stronger for it. So, I don't really know where I was going with that. But anyway, cool, women power.
I'm going back to school for my master's in sports psychology.
Awesome.
So that I can apply for works for esports psychology. Because cool. my
Which
young-
is insane that that is now a thing.
It's a thing now, yeah.
Like, that's a new job.
This is so interesting. Yeah, I just want you to do a podcast talking about that.
You should.
Because my brother, the things that he tells me, you know, he's worked for a multitude of orgs, and, you know, he's seen bad orgs and good orgs, and the good orgs always have reliable staff. And that's something that a lot of the Overwatch League is now requiring them to have, like, a psychologist there for them, because these kids...
Yes.
are plucked out of their mother's homes,
yes.
and all of a sudden they're moving into a gaming house, and you know, somebody that probably had, you know, like agoraphobia, and all of a sudden now has to live in a house, you know, with
something I've never thought about before.
And,
but you're right; these are just kids.
Yeah. And,
yeah.
A lot of this.
And
time.
So that's, you know, and given that's what I do, because I also provide tutoring for these kids, because I'm qualified for that too. So
yeah.
I'll help them with their schoolwork so that they can work on this other stuff.
Wow.
But that's the type of thing that you want in a for working for, you know, with these kids. And and speaking of going back to talking about girls, the problem also with living in a gaming house is you're living with five dudes. You're living with and you're sharing a bathroom with these men.
That was my life when I moved to LA.
Yes.
Because I couldn't afford anything. Yep. And I lived in a windowless room with four other dudes.
Oh,
I shared an apartment.
Man.
And there was,
And then I had to take Molly.
Oh my gosh, you were there! Oh my gosh, Janelle, I remember. God, can
I was
you,
like,
we've
I'm
grown
CPS,
so
I, like,
much.
Took her
people don't know this, and I hope this is helpful for people listening, because I think you see us and you're like, they're so successful, and it's like we were in the trenches.
Yeah,
we were in the trenches. Janelle used to make fun, like not make fun, but used to kind of get on me because I didn't have any windows in my room. I lived in like a closet essentially.
Yeah. Oh my gosh,
I did my time. I remember
she was grinding all day.
Grinding.
So poor Molly was in the house. I was like, I'm taking your dog.
You did. Oh my gosh.
I took her home to my parents.
Yes. This is just the side note. When I was diagnosed with my autoimmune stuff, I was very sick. I was, you know, trying to host. I was trying to write. I was trying to submit, audition, like all the stuff. And Janelle, oh my gosh, I'm going to cry.
Oh.
Janelle took Molly for, I don't know, like 3 months or something when I was really sick. And you took care of her.
But she was a friend to my dad's dog, so that was great. So they
had
lots
but
of digging adventures in the backyard.
It's just so funny that we're like, we've come up together.
There
and it
go.
Is. We've like, come up. Yeah, we've supported each other. You know what is so funny is because when you and I both hopped on the scene, we were both in the comedy scene, we were nerdy Latinas, and I think a lot of times people did pit us against each other.
Yeah, they tried to do that all the time.
Yes, and what Janelle and I realized was like, oh, people are scared.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, if we work together, we will be two times as strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what we started to do. And we started to like work our way up real quick because I remember if I couldn't make something, I'm like, oh, well, I can't, you know, I have another hosting gig, but if you want a nerdy Latina, I know the perfect one. And we would tag team out so that it stayed
that.
In the family.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Oh, we have to take another break. This is such a good combo. We're going to continue and talk about the future of gaming as well right when we come back. And we are back. And so I wanted to talk about, the future that you see of gaming, but also what we think studios can do as far as problem solving. One thing that I know, just in not being in the gaming world, but being in the hosting world, is a lot of studios had a hands-off approach when it came to the comments section. And I'm like, you cannot allow, and I think Maude Garrett touched on this a little bit. Maude was on our Zelda episode. She's also a host at a bunch of channels. Was like, you cannot allow people to treat your hosts this way. And I was so fed up with a lot of the channels that I was hosting at just being like, you know, there's nothing we can do about it. And that's not true. Because Janelle, you and I have both hosted at Hyper, and they take their mods very seriously. They take their jobs very seriously. A lot of our mods are people who are fans, who are very loyal to the channel and will not let you treat the host that way and write these harassing comments. For me, I mean, when you're starting out, I think like maybe 2 years ago, I was on a channel, which is not going to be named, but I did a couple of episodes with them. The comments were so bad that I took a break from Iffy and I's podcast. Like, it wasn't even it wasn't our podcast, but I had to take a break just because I needed a break from everything I was doing.
Oh,
like,
wow.
And it was, as studios need to lay down a line of like, we're not going to accept racism. We're not going to accept sexism. We're not going to allow you to speak to our talent like this. You are not welcome here. And I think a lot of places were putting the money over that of saying, oh yeah, but there's subscribers. We don't want to lose subscribers. And the nice thing about Hyper was like, if you are a subscriber and you act like this, we don't want you.
We don't want you. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And that's, yeah, that's exactly how everyone, yeah, I assume you treat your streams. Like, that's the thing, too. If people come in and say something, I don't care if you sub to me. Like, no, you're not going to say that to me, and we don't want that here. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. This is one place where I will pipe in.
That, yeah.
Because I feel like that is a very huge epidemic in a lot of communities. And I've at this point in my career, I've been able to work for a lot of different YouTube channels, and what happens is people, you know, build a brand on a community of white males. They're like, consider your host or generally white male, so you don't see it. So you see, so it passes by you, and you grow a large community. And then when your friends who are people of color and or women hop on, and you see this, you're in a bad position because this is something you haven't seen before, and you now are in the position of wondering, oh snap, these are my subscribers, but this is also my fan base.
Yeah.
And you have to make the decision of what's more important to you, playing it safe and ignoring it and letting your video get those views, or like addressing it head on. And, you know, there's been a very popular media company that we all know of that when they had a recent shakeup due to, you know, people at top being ousted for doing gross things, they've took more control of their community and shifted, and it's a lot better and a lot more positive. And and it's all because they were going to take that hit anyway, so it gave them allowance to, you know, go ahead and make that change. But that's a thing that people are there. They'll turn the other cheek. Like, they won't, you know, goad it on, but they won't make a hard stance against it. And when you don't say anything, that's, they're just going to look at you and be like, oh, well, you're letting me get away with it. And that's what I do like about streaming, is you can make a hard and fast stance. And that's why, you know, I pride myself on, you know, there being women within my stream community, within the Salt Squad. And that's why, you know, we kind of switched from the Salt Squad, because we used to be Shulk Boys, which was just, you know, it was just something I made up at Geek and Sundry, not even thinking when I was maining Shulk. And then, you know, there was just, you know, women in my community who are like, oh man, what do we call ourselves? And you know, you go through that thing, because it goes back to that age old conversation of using like, hey guys,
as gender neutral
and you know, it's very easy for me as a man to be like, well, boys is for everyone, but that is the thing that I don't feel the effects of. So, and it kind of goes back to when people say like, X isn't racist, sexist, homophobic, or transphobic, is if you're not, you literally have a blind side because you do not feel what it feels to be excluded in that way. So then I was like, okay, what's something that, you know, that can be accepted as Salt Squad, you know, and that way anyone can be a member of Salt Squad. And then if you join, you're the Salt Fam. And like, it's very gender neutral.
I love that you brought that up, because in terms of, Danny, you were asking what can companies do to kind of help this. I think that that's actually one of the really big things. I've been blessed in my time in games to work at two incredibly progressive companies with like great community managers who value diversity and great storytelling and all of that. But, you know, something that companies can do is unconscious bias training, because I think a lot of the time, you know, we don't realize, like you said, the things that we bring to the table in our own mind that we assume about people. And like, everybody has those assumptions. Like, I'm a queer woman, but I'm not a person of color. So like, we all were raised with different assumptions. The world bombards us with things that we're supposed to think all the time. So we all, whether we like it or not, come to the table with these biases that we feel about other people. And that's okay. Like, we all have them, and we have to, the point is that we have to acknowledge that and be aware of them so that they don't interfere with our ability to hire the best person, to work with good people, you know, all that stuff. And so, but I think that can be a hard thing for people to comprehend sometimes, because if I'm like, everyone's kind of racist sometimes. Like, people are like, I'm not racist. And it's like, well, we're all, like, every, you know, in some way, we all have something that we assume about someone that's not correct.
Yeah.
And we just need to be able to say to ourselves, that's okay. I recognize that now, and I won't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, when HR and, like, when companies bring in, like, great speakers on diversity and stuff, I love that. I think that's so important. It just makes people think.
Yeah, I mean, just – it is funny because, you know, we're talking about racism here, but I think this can be used across the board for all isms.
Totally.
It is – yeah, you do have that hard thing because I think what's so hard is, like, you know, everyone's more afraid of being called a racist than actually being racist.
Or ageist or sexist. Yeah,
because they're like, that's the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
And I think people miss the point that you can do something that is racist. You can do something that is sexist and not be a racist and not be a sexist.
Yeah.
It's what determines what you are is your actions when it is called out.
Or women can do things that are sexist. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I've worked with women who do misogynist things and they don't even know it, but it's oftentimes because they were raised in this Highlander culture where they feel they have to put other women down in order to maintain their position, which I totally understand and sympathize and don't blame them for, but it's like we have to have conversations like this so that then you can examine yourself and be like, am I doing that?
Yeah.
Am I competing instead of cooperating? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. And
bigger streamers need to, you know, take a step forward in that too, because one of the things that would Ninja, who is like a popular Fortnite streamer, which, you know, kids love, he refuses to play with women because of the comments in the chat, because he doesn't want to hear it. And that's why I don't do it. And I don't, because I'm married. He won't play with the woman because he's married.
Team Mike Pence?
Essentially, yes, because he is afraid of that. And instead of instead of, like, letting that actually be a teaching moment, and I think that's what we talk about again, where it's like you let your platform determine what you do instead of determine what your platform
Another
is.
Another great example of treating the symptom and not the issue, right? Mm-hmm. Which is, again, I understand, like, treating the issue is extremely hard and not easy and not an instant solution in any way. So it's like the thought of going about doing that seems daunting, and it's daunting to me to be like, how do we dismantle the patriarchy? Like, let's just figure it out. But it's like, you know, it's small things. Everyone can do small things.
Yeah.
Something cool in Apex Legends is they have a character that uses they/them pronouns. Yes. That's like non-binary, and that's cool. I had a conversation at work today with someone because of that, who was like, "Can you explain what non-binary is to me?" And we had a great conversation about it, and they were like, "That's really confusing."
I really applaud, like, the roster, the hero roster, the character roster is, like, so inclusive.
It's
like, it's just, and that's what more and more games need to be doing. And that's, you know, taking a step forward, would, you know, which Overwatch has been doing. And so, Apex, like, I was so, so impressed with that launch just at the gate, like, just like very inclusive.
Just opens up that conversation, I feel, which is so important.
Because it makes it more the norm in our culture. And the younger kids that are in there, they are growing up playing this game with that being the norm.
Totally.
Yeah.
Just the simple fact that there are, like, two separate black women as playable characters is a big thing because, like, you know, I was just having a conversation with Tanea, a friend of the pod, who she was saying, you know, every time there's a black woman in the game, there's only one black woman.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, it just has no. And then the other black woman is, like, Caribbean, which is a total different, you know, type of black, you know, and you only see one shade. So that I thought was really cool.
It's great that you bring that up. I have, like, I've been in that argument before where people are like, well, we can't have two, like, Asian women in a game, players won't be able to tell them apart. Yeah. It's like, we have like 18 different white people.
I know.
You can tell them apart. Like, just stick a different haircut on her. We did it. Like, you know what I mean?
Easy.
And it's, but it is that moment of like, oh, no, you're totally right.
Yeah.
Dang. And it's just like, but you have to have that moment of like saying that to someone and have the like light bulb go on. You know?
That's not just happening in games, that's happening all over.
Movies, TV shows,
media. Yeah,
comics,
a lot of times
totally.
There's only one media. Asian person in an ensemble cast or one. Yeah. Yeah. What are some of the great moments that you've had being in the fandom, being at cons? Because I know you both have gone to cons and I have too. I think that, honestly, conventions are my favorite thing about being in this world, is because that takes away the screen. It takes away the, and you know, the anonymous, like,
yeah,
comments and stuff. And like, it's just fans being fans.
Yeah.
And it's people mm-hmm. that are passionate. And it's all the good things I feel like about mm-hmm. about this world
yeah.
when I'm at cons, because people aren't going to say that stuff to my face.
Yeah.
You know? But, and also just seeing young people and old people and all different kinds. So yeah, so I wanted to know some good moments that y'all have had at the places you've hosted at, worked at, and at conventions.
Yeah, when people, you know, have thanked me for allowing them to practice their stuff. And we did a tournament recently, and one of the kids is 12 years old, and he was able to beat a team of masters, and he was just like, he was so grateful, and he was like, you know, they got beat by a 12-year-old on a laptop. And because he didn't have, he's a little more vulgar than that. And I was like, come on, Derek, like, we don't tell people that you're 12 because you're supposed to be 13 to be in this tournament.
Slow
just
down.
Like, yeah, just like that. And honestly, like online, I get a lot of comments from on Snapchat from the girls that are like, you know, I put this much time. Thank you for, you know, thanks so much. You know, like, you totally understand because I'm there. I'm a voice for people. And that's something too. Like, whenever I see anybody, you know, a fan of Hyper RPG that, you know, that it is grateful for the work that we do there. It's just it really just makes me so happy.
Yeah, it's yeah. amazing. I met like one of my very best girlfriends through games on the internet. I found I was like scrolling through Mass Effect tattoos on Instagram when I was thinking about getting my Mass Effect tattoo,
nice.
And I found this like epic one on this girl, and I was like, oh my god, your tattoo is amazing. And we started talking on Instagram, and like 5 years later, we're best friends. Now we live in the same, we moved to the same city, and I see her all the time. And you know, games are such a great social space, and not only online multiplayer games, which are like a very obvious social space, but also like games that people care about in game fandoms.
Yep.
Because you're playing these characters and you're so much more connected actively to these stories than like passively consuming a movie or a comic or whatever, people are just so passionate about them. And when you connect with other people who have that same passion, obviously, like, fandom is amazing.
Yes.
Everyone listening to this probably knows that, or I'm not telling them anything new. But it's so cool, and it's great to be able to meet these people online, to make these friends in Discord and on Twitter, and then to all congregate at these
cons,
conventions. And then you get to meet them in real life. And I think about this all the time, because when we were growing up, it was always the thing that was like, don't meet a stranger from the internet. You'll die. And it's like all y'all in this room right now were strangers on the internet to me first. It's like I know.
Yeah, I have so many Twitch creative friends that we all finally met like at TwitchCon. And it was just so funny because everyone had pieces of art to give each other. Because everyone's like, I worked on all these things. Like, and everyone was just trading art. And it was just like, you know, you just know everybody right away. And like, that's how the internet works now, is like, you can fall in love over the internet or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It's just fantastic to have games as something to do together. It's like going to a theme park together online, you know. It's so fun.
When we spend so much time, I feel like what I really love about this conversation is I feel like oftentimes in the media at large, we spend so much time talking about how like gaming is like bad for women and scary and bad, like all this stuff. But like the truth of the matter is that the amazing and positive experiences and friendships and interactions that I've made and had through gaming outweigh anything else that's ever happened to me by like a magnitude of millions. Like best friends, jobs, amazing experiences, like this, it's real life. And I just encourage girls who want to get into streaming, who want to try out gaming and aren't sure if they should because they've heard something bad or aren't sure if they'll ever be able to make it in programming, like, you should do it. We need your voice, and we're waiting for your voice. So,
and the amount
put
it of fulfillment you get from putting that out there, and the feeling of accomplishment that you do, like, it outweighs all of the bad. Like, honestly, it's so worth it.
Yeah. Iffy, I wanted to push that over to you too. Like, do you have good con experiences or experiences in the fandom that stick out for you?
Oh yeah, I think whenever I get to meet someone that, you know, that really enjoys the work I've done, and I do really enjoy, like, whenever, like, you know, I've this past January I've been lucky enough to be on the front page of Twitch, and you know, that's been good in the sense of just how many people come in and goes, oh, great, it's a black streamer. Because when you do see, you know, the front page, and, you know, I feel comfortable saying this because I tell this to my friends at Twitch in their faces. It's predominantly white. You see a lot of white guys featured. And then, you know, it's and to see, like, you know, the change and them actively trying to switch that up by featuring more women on the front page, them doing the Black History Month.
Yeah, one of my friends, so cool. Proper Artist. Oh, yeah. He was featured on there, too.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So it's that type of stuff that's really going to change the perspective.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, Twitch kind of got burned by, like, having these grand stage events and people being able to read what chat was saying during this event and seeing how horrible some of these people can be. And the fear is, I think it's once again trying to put the Band-Aid on the issue instead of fix it, where like, we just won't feature anything that triggers this, instead of just, like, you know, actively being better about your bands and actively, like, responding to your reports. And I think it's also just, like, you know, give me the opportunity to turn it down if it's too much for me, because I have a certain way I like to handle it. And it's with, like, you know, great mods like Fleckery and, you know, Largo, who are very quick to just, like, zap these guys. Mm-hmm. And then me even, like, bringing them to the front stage, letting them sit there and try all their silly whack trolls, and then let them run out of gas and disappear when they see that it doesn't, like, you don't matter.
You don't get affected by it. Yeah.
So... you know, that's the thing. It really is, like, to stop, you know, really kind of suppressing the people that's being affected instead of dealing with the people who's putting these people in all these situations. Mm-hmm. But I think in the end, it is just also, just to kind of bring it back to what this episode is about, is kind of stepping up. Like, if you're in a game with someone and you see someone saying, you know, some sexist BS, or seeing someone, like, trolling someone because they're a woman, I mean, what do you have to lose now? You're on the internet. You know, it's one thing when you don't even do it in person, but if you're on the internet and you can't even just step up and be like, yo, y'all are being some buttholes, you know, like, chill out. I do that all the time. It's like, chill out. And then, you know, then it gets a little spicier after
that. And that's what I'm proud of. Like, the, you know, the teenagers, the boys, they group up and they totally, like, go at it for any woman that somebody was saying that, like, they're like, it makes me, like, I feel like a proud mama. I'm like,
oh, but that's amazing. That's such a testament to the fact that when you sit down and you teach people, like, why you should be cool to people and, like, how to be cool, they then spread that message. Mm-hmm. And I think that what you're doing is amazing.
Yeah. That's, and then they add them and they bring them to me, and I'm like, cool. Where are my girls?
Yeah. I think it is important to do that, because the fact of the matter is, gamers get so butthurt when, like, the media portrays them as these horrible people, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yet do nothing to negate stop that. Yeah. It's like, how about, okay, you hate it when it happens, then when you see trash people being trash, you need to step up and crush them, because we as a community can oust these people, you know?
That's it. It shouldn't only be on women to make this change, and it can't only be on women to make this change, right? Like, guys have to step up and be like, here's what we want to do. Here's how we want to see the world change. Just like white people need to stand up for people of color, and, you know, straight people need to stand up for queer people. It's important. And I think if we all are cool together, we will form a Voltron of awesomeness, and then we'll get more diversity in games.
With
we'll be
our
radical.
Powers combined.
Exactly.
Yes. This has been such a great conversation. I will definitely have to have both of you back and weighing in, you know, as this world kind of constantly progresses and changes. Sam, where can everyone catch you?
Oh, I'm just at Sam Maggs, SammAggs on Twitter, Instagram, all over the place. You can check out my books. My latest books are Girl Squads, A History of 20 Awesome Female Friendships, and Marvel Fearless and Fantastic.
I just bought that. I'm so excited. It was so, you brought it to our, we got to see an early copy of it.
Yeah.
It looked so cool. Oh. I was like, I have to order this.
Thank you.
It
it's an encyclopedia of Marvel's female superheroes. So
it was like ones that I didn't even know about.
I mean, when I started writing it, I was half of them, I was like, I know everything about this. And the other half, I was like, I've heard of this. And so many great ones. So Pick those up and play Spider-Man PS4.
Yes. Yay. Janelle, what about you?
I am Janelle Santa Cruz on everything. That's J-A-N-E-L Santa Cruz on all the social medias. And I stream whenever. I'll post about it on Twitter. And then we just started a date night underscore OW Twitch, which has all of our pre-approved people on there, LGBTQ friendly. And so we all support each other. And that's a good place to follow and see who we're hosting at any moment.
And you have a show on Hyper,
right? I do, Hyper RPG. Every Tuesday we do Blood Curdling Tales from the Loop, which is awesome. It's a tabletop storytelling, and it's set in the 80s, and it's hosted by Cameron Rice, and it's very spooky, and I love it, and I'm having a really good time. Yeah.
Ooh. Heck yeah.
Danny, thank you for having us. Iffy, thank you for having us.
Yeah, this
was such a blast. What a great convo.
I love talking with y'all and just working. I've worked with you both separately. I'm like, y'all need to meet each other.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can get Janelle on our show, on Sam and I's show. I am at Ms. Danny Fernandez on all the things. So definitely check out our TeePublic site. It's teepublic.com/nerdificent. We're going to be adding more merch, but they've made really, TeePublic has like made special designs for us, for Iffy and I, which are really cool.
Oh.
I love them. There's like a Batman one up there, like a old school Batman Robin. Made a Vegeta and Goku, which like when we made a note for them, because they're like, do you want us to make this? I'm like, yeah,
please.
Iffy has to be Goku. I have to be Vegeta. And it was so funny because they made it so on point that they made my widow's peak, because Vegeta has a widow's peak. And I even was like, can we tone it down just a little?
That's a color like post. That's too much. Yeah.
I was like, whoa. That's what I look like with his hair. But anyways, check it out. And again, follow us on, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter. Please send us, you know, screenshots if you review us or if you buy merch. We want to see that because we want to boost y'all. We love our fans and y'all are just so positive and allow us to have these conversations. Like Iffy and I were saying, we've hosted at a lot of places and a lot of them don't always let us have these type of open conversations and talk about really important issues that I think a lot of people might not know are happening behind the scenes to us. So we appreciate this platform.
Yeah, and you know me, it's your boy, Iffy Wadiway, IFYNWADIWE on Twitter and Instagram. If D's on Twitch, come through, drop them Twitch Prime subs like y'all been doing. I need to remind y'all, it does not renew. If you drop them like $5 subs, they renew. But if you're doing Twitch Prime, you got to come back every month. Don't forget me. I won't forget you. as for shows on the 16th of February, if you're in the LA area, I will be doing stand-up at the Long Beach Comic Con at from 5 to 6 at the Live on Mint show. We got some other shows coming later this month, but they're far enough to where I'll just promote them on the next one. Thank you so much for stopping by and listening. And as always, stay nerdy.